thank you all for coming out. I really appreciate it. Obviously, within our industry, storytelling and sharing is incredibly important. So I encourage all of you guys to continue to share anything that you find useful on Twitter today. Hopefully, you will find something useful out of this. I've already seen some great stuff on Twitter so far from SMS Summit, so please feel free. So a little bit about myself. My name is Bill Mrazek. I'm a native Chicagoan, so as most millennials describe themselves, I'm actually from the Chicago suburbs. And I started working at Edelman, actually, so agency side, about 5 years ago, and I started in digital analytics and actually work with one of Mananya's coworkers now, or I used to work with one of her coworkers that she has now. After that, I moved to the corporate side at Grubhub, where I helped manage some of our social media properties and our content strategy and advertising strategy. And then from there, I moved on to Raise. You can find us at raise.com, and we also have a mobile app. And as Mananya stated, that's it's basically a marketplace where we facilitate the buying and selling of gift cards, digital gift cards, coupons, store credits, that type of thing. If you have more questions about it afterwards, we can definitely chat about it. So all in, I've worked in social analytics for about 5 years now. And as techtarget.com describes social analytics, they say it's the practice of gathering data from blogs and social media websites and analyzing that data to make business decisions. And that the most common use of that is to mine customer sentiment in order to support marketing and customer service decisions and activities. I personally think that definition kind of lacks color and it's kind of boring. So throughout this presentation, we're going to kind of redefine what social analytics is today and how it's used today. So I want to start by using an analogy. Since social media is so focused on storytelling, I think that if you're able to really captivate an audience and tell a story, it's a prized ability that you have. Having an understanding of who your audience is, what they care most about, it really makes for an impactful story. Similarly, you can use social analytics to tell a story and the value of social media to your organization. Similar to how great story can be lost on an audience if there's a cultural or potentially a language barrier, it can be difficult to really emphasize the importance of social media to your organization, especially to the stakeholders that you report into or that are looking to you for really building up the community or building up the organization. The main thing is you need to have a clear understanding of priorities and goals, and if you don't, then you're gonna basically lose the story and it's gonna be lost in translation. So I like to think that if you have a clear set of goals in mind, social analytics can actually act as a translator, and it will ensure that nothing is really lost in translation. So why should we care about social analytics? Really quickly, a little interactive, and please don't be shy. By a show of hands, how many of you feel like social media isn't necessarily taken that seriously in your organization? Okay, good to know. Now, how many of you are actually having a little bit of difficulty in defining the value or the ROI of social media in your organization? Okay, pretty consistent. So do not worry, you are not alone in the industry. I know it's kind of a daunting task to be told, I want to know what the ROI is, show me what the value of social is. So I actually posted to a Facebook group earlier this week, that's a social media manager group, about 10,000 members are in it, and I asked that same question. Of the people that responded, 89% agreed with you. They are having difficulty providing the ROI, they're having difficulty defining what the actual value is of social. I think that the biggest issue there is that people think that ROI automatically has to have a monetary value tied to it. They automatically think, okay, like I need to say we're spending X amount and we're generating this much, new users or new purchases, but I'm not able to track those things or I'm not sure where those sources actually come from. That's not true. Your ROI or value metrics are specific to your organization, they're specific to your social marketing efforts, and they're specific to the goals that you need to put in place. In order to determine these metrics, you really need to understand the goals of your marketing team and then the organization as a whole. This can include driving sales, increasing website traffic, customer acquisition, customer retention, generating a change in search brand terms, or generating a spike in brand mention terms across the digital space. Speed and activity of customer service on social. all the way to brand awareness and brand health and so on. So in order to understand your teams, or in order to really benefit, you need to understand your organizations, your clients, depending if you're agency side, or your stakeholders' goals. This is going to help you determine the proper approach and the priorities for your social analytics, which then, in turn, will put you in a stronger position and accomplish your personal goals for social. So how do we know what approach to take on social analytics? I personally think that there are three main tactics that you should take into consideration when it comes to social analytics. First is reporting, specifically around business and brand objectives. So tracking, reporting. Two is conducting social listening to guide your research and planning. And third is collaborating within your organization to really support internal growth, which then in turn will benefit from external growth as well. So to start with the first one on reporting for business objectives specifically, this is a funnel that I personally think is pretty important to keep top of mind, and you can actually develop a tracker around this. Basically, it helps you track and compare statistics that can be shared with various stakeholders within the organization, as well as keeping you organized on your personal progress towards your goals for social. Analyzing how campaigns and programs compare to your daily social activity will actually help you form a story of how social is contributing to business objectives and helping provide growth. Metrics that can be easily tracked include the impressions and reach, engagement numbers. So impressions and reach, if you're not familiar, it's the number of users that actually saw your social content, or potential impressions is the number of people that potentially served your message. You can find these within Facebook Analytics as well as the analytics section of ads.twitter.com. And you can pull specific to tweet, specific to post, full profile analytics as well. YouTube, Google Plus, LinkedIn, they all have their own analytic tracking as well on the own properties, so you can find those engagement and impression metrics there. So when it comes down to a couple of the stickier metrics like site traffic, conversions, signups, and downloads, honestly, I think the best resource for this on your organic content that's going out is by opening up a Google Analytics account. You can start it for free. I think that there's obviously paid levels to it, like everything else these days in social. But it's honestly priceless. You can accurately track how many people from a single post actually went to your site, made a purchase, or how many people actually went to the App Store, downloaded your app, or how many new users you acquired, how many returning site visits you had, all of those metrics. And so I look at it from this funnel approach because obviously you're impression and reach numbers are going to be the largest section, and then it moves down into engagement, and then likely from there, site traffic into conversions, into signups, downloads, or any other key metrics that you have that are that final point of sale, basically. So you can utilize each of the platforms basically to be able to track how you're pushing people through this funnel, or consumers through this funnel. So I want to show a quick example. And these metrics are just made up for the sake of not being strong at math. Here's a quick example of how you can analyze performance by comparing the average performance you have, so that left funnel, to a potential campaign that just launched. Like I said, this is for the sake of visualization. I personally actually prefer putting these metrics into an Excel spreadsheet, and then you can build out whatever type of visualization that you want through a pivot table or charts. So, as I stated, moving down through the funnel, so let's say that your new campaign reached about 10,000, or a post in your new campaign reached about 10,000 people. Of those 10,000 people, 1,000 people actually engaged with that post. So I consider that your post engagement rate, I think it's more accurate than saying like, okay, we have 1 million followers and then only 3 people engaged with us, your engagement rate's gonna be miserable. You wanna track actually the people that you reached. So for the sake of the example, that's a 10% basically conversion rate into engagement. From there, of the people that engaged, about 500 or 50% people of the people continued onto your site. So then you can track, okay, of the people that we reached, this many engaged, this many people, we actually drove to the site after they engaged. From there, you can track conversion. So of the people that visited the site, this is how many people converted. So there we have 50% for the example. And then if you wanted to track new users, 100, so about 40% of the conversions that came from your site came from new people visiting your site. And then another example in there is just downloads. So if you wanted to track of the downloads that happened, or of the new signups, did any of those people download our app or download an inbound marketing piece of content? About 20, so it's 20%. And then you can compare that to what your average performance is in all of these same areas of the funnel. So you can show that because you developed up the, you developed out this campaign, you saw that you saw a consistent increase across each of these different areas of the funnel. Another thing is you can track these metrics over time and determine benchmarks for effectiveness. So you can forecast potential performance and cost analysis. For example, if you spent $100 on this new campaign and you got 20 downloads, you can expect in the future to have about a $5 cost per app download. And then you can apply that budget, obviously, to each of these different areas of the funnel so that you can propose a new budget and say, well, this is what we can expect out of it. Oops. So under the second part of reporting on brand objectives. So this is where I think where a lot of people are already tracking performance, this will play well for you. So in addition to content impressions and engagements, there are two additional metrics that I call brand lift metrics. This is where you can track potential value and effectiveness from social efforts around brand keywords and search. So when you started your campaign or you posted a new piece of content, did you actually see around that same time or immediately following an increase in your brand terms in search? The second one is brand keyword mentions. So this is the number of people that are actually talking about your brand and or your key terms in the digital space. So tracking the number of impressions that those mentions have generated, where they're discussing your brand, and even the sentiment towards the brand and the key terms. These can all be tied back to your social efforts. Brand key term mentions can be found utilizing a social analytics tool or monitoring tool. There are a ton of them out there. I personally use Crimson Hexagon right now. In the past, I've used Radiant 6 and Percolate. Even Hootsuite's paid offering includes some social analytics to it. Another one is Amobi. I haven't used that. I have that example on the next slide. But you'll be able to determine the location, sources of mentions, platforms that people are speaking on or talking about your brand on, as well as build out lists of potential influencers that may be interested in working with you or that are actually being mouthpieces for your organization. So I consider these, like I said, they can consider these metrics to be brand lift and brand health metrics, since they can really help determine if there was an increase in the brand awareness and the brand retention around your organization. And you can immediately follow up to a specific timeline, like you can see here of, like, so say you launched a campaign on this date, and then you saw an immediate increase in the week following, and then once the campaign ends, you saw things go back to normal levels. But then you can track to see, okay, this is, say that these are all of our posts that went live. This is our activity level in brand key search terms. So we actually saw that people continued to search and then there was a gradual drop off afterwards. Or for brand mentions on social or on digital, you can track as well to see if there is an actual, basically if it prolonged after the campaign completed. So why are you providing this type of analysis around the brand lift metrics? It'll be really well received by your brand and advertising stakeholders within your organization, especially if they're focused on surveying or measuring the brand awareness and brand recognition of your consumers. You'll be able to show that in addition to any offline, TV, or digital advertisements that they're running, through organic social or even some paid, or definitely through paid social, you can also show that you're providing value around the brand awareness and or education around your organization. So moving into the second tactic, social listening, specifically for benefiting your research and planning. Think of this as actively building out a SWOT analysis in the digital space with goals or specific questions from your specific stakeholders in mind. You can set up your social listening approach. You're going to listen for basically putting together the story of how your industry has evolved or is evolving. Track the growth and performance of competitors. research and define potential customer segments, so things that are actually actionable as well through your marketing team or communications team. You can prioritize markets or regions based upon where people are actually talking about specific trends within your industry or even your organization. I think social listening can really garner insights that are valuable to stakeholders across the entire organization. To be honest, it's kind of endless, the possibilities that you can pull out of social listening. As you tap into users that are discussing your industry and competitors, new marketing opportunities can present themselves. It can lend to your social content or advertising strategy, especially if you're tracking what are people liking, what are they disliking about our competitors, or what are people saying in reference to our industry that is being missed currently by all of our competitors or our own strategy. I've personally seen social listening benefit stakeholders in new business pitches, crises, product development, competitor research, content and advertising strategy, developing and building out influencer programs, even experiential marketing activities and activations based upon different regions that people are talking about your industry or your competitors or your brand. So within social listening, this is another benefit. It ties into the brand metric slightly because you can actually utilize Crimson Hexagon and all of those social analytics tools for this initiative as well. So it's one tool to kind of knock out two tactics. So moving on to the third, collaboration, specifically for internal growth so that you can externally benefit. In that same Facebook group, I actually asked people if they felt like social was a part of their integrated marketing and communications efforts, if they felt like they were actually a part of the internal team. More than 25% said that social was not. They were on their own. It's not a massive number, but 25% is pretty drastic, especially when integrated marketing has been proven time and time again to be more beneficial than having each initiative siloed for brand consistency, for messaging consistency, and for cost reasons. You can retarget off of different initiatives so that you're not paying double for someone that's already been reached by a different initiative in marketing. So it's essential to demonstrate that you know your customers by identifying their pain points. Once those issues have basically been identified, you can offer the necessary solutions. And sharing these findings and insights with your operations team, leadership, it will really demonstrate the value of social and how it understands your customers as it pertains to the actual business experience, not just what they like on Facebook or what they like on Twitter or Instagram. For example, as we talked about the company that I work for, we have a mobile app and website, and it basically facilitates the buying and selling between users. So due to the transactional nature of our business, there's a lot of customer interaction, people asking questions. They want to make sure that things are secure. It's their money. They're either trying to make money or they're trying to save money. We're actually seeing an increase in customer interaction on social across the board. And in a lot of instances, social interaction pertaining to customer service issues is a first-time touch for the company. So they're not calling, they're not emailing, they're not even checking our website to see if we have a chat function or anything along those lines. So in order to remain consistent and organized across the organization, my social team shares all reporting with our operations and our customer service teams. We use the same tags that they use on all of their tickets for customer service. We tag all incoming messages that are specific to their issues, user experience, user interface, as well as anything regarding actual company policies as well, or even usage around the app. We've even used it for tracking if any of our sales associates are prospecting through social. We put all of this together so that we have one cohesive brand voice across all of our marketing and communications efforts. So not only is our reporting consistent with the teams reporting on the other side of the office, but we're providing valuable feedback to each of the team's stakeholders as well. So it's enhancing exposure to the social team across the whole organization. Our leaders within our operations department know that we're seeing an uptick on a specific issue around customer service, and then maybe a week later, we'll see it also come through in email or in calls. So we're actually getting ahead on customer service issues and then also solving them at a faster and a higher rate. So kind of beating a dead horse, but utilizing analytics to share customer service related items, engagements, customer feedback, user experience, employee engagement, recruitment, employee and talent branding, it can really tell the story of how your whole organization can evolve and grow both internally and externally. Collaborating will not only show the value of social to your direct stakeholders within marketing or communications or your higher ups within on your social team, but across the entire organization and the leaders of each department. Not to mention being open and owning this collaboration within your organization positions you as a leader. It positions you as someone that's looking out for the organization, and you're a bridge between all the different departments. So whether you practice all three of these tactics or one or two of them, it will become clear that you and your organization, to you and your organization, that social analytics is an intersection where qualitative and quantitative findings join together to tell a real story. So that's kind of my hybrid definition for how social analytics can be utilized today. As long as you remember who your audience is, you define your organizational and marketing goals, social analytics will really help make your efforts more valuable to your stakeholders in your organization. I kind of flew through this, but I wanted to end on two quotes that I think are pretty valuable for social analytics. The first is actually from a former colleague, the colleague that works now with Ananya. I worked with him at Edelman. He's got a great sense of humor. He's a VP of analytics now. Dude's brilliant and funny, and it kind of shows in his quote, "Put more detail into an analysis, but use less words." This is important because even though a great story contains a ton of details, very important details, it still remains just as important to be clear and concise. This is something that has to be consistent across all of communications, including just putting together an analysis and reporting on a specific effort. Tailor your analyses to the appropriate audience to avoid anything being lost in translation. The second quote is important because it kind of goes back to the point of understanding what is best for you to measure for your specific organization. So it goes back to your goals. Know your audience and tell them the story that they're looking for. And the quote is, "Expecting quantitative ROI immediately is not the right metric to pursue. Marketing of all kinds, and specifically marketing with social media, is a process of growing awareness, reliable reach, and then ROI over time. Those things should be measured in the appropriate order at the appropriate time." So I would honestly take these quotes and this whole presentation into consideration when it comes to what approach for social analytics is best for your company. It might not be all three of those tactics. It might be one specifically. That's really everything that I have in terms of the presentation, but I really hope that you guys have some questions or even just opening this up to a full conversation. I think we have quite a bit of time still. Yeah. Sure. So there's a couple of ways you can approach it. If your organization can afford a tool like Crimson Hexagon or Radian 6, actually, I don't know if Radian 6 has it yet. I'd have to go back and look at an invoice, to be honest with you. Okay. And I think that they tailor it specific to each organization, too. Okay. But anyways, they will pull in what they consider an automatic sentiment analysis, but you can still go through and you can re-tag items. So say, perfect example is we ran a campaign the other day, and on Twitter specifically, we saw a ton of retweets and sharing of our content. It was automatically pulling all of those retweets in as neutral sentiment, whereas we considered it, since it's a share metric, people are spreading brand awareness about it, we consider it a positive metric. You can go in and re-tag a handful of those specific tweets that were retweeted, and the system within Crimson Hexagon, at least, will automatically adjust. It's got some crazy API and some crazy tech behind it that it can actually learn from how you adjust sentiment. So if you think, if you have a very irreverent brand voice, like when I was at Grubhub, they used to have a super irreverent brand voice in all of their content. So people would engage with us in a sarcastic manner, and obviously tech does not pick up on sarcasm. So we would go through and manually tag a handful, and because of a string of keywords, it would then automatically adjust to be positive mentions of us rather than a neutral or negative mention. Another way that is a little bit scrappier and it's not quite as much fun is you can export all of your brand mentions and create a sample set. I can actually see if I have a way to share it with everyone, but basically a spreadsheet where you can import all of your brand mentions. And then there's a second tab that actually has different values tied into it. So you can say, okay, we have 8,000 mentions. We want a sample set with 98% accuracy, and we want to have 300 mentions represented you just hit submit and it'll automatically generate all of those, and then you have to manually go through and tag them.
Sure.
Oh, so for sample sizes, it depends on really what you're trying to find out. If this is, you want to break into a new part of the industry, you can export, the past 6 months, how people are talking about those specific key terms for that part of the industry. And then you can tag that for sentiment or for specific topics to see if there is an opportunity there. If you just want to track month to month performance on brand awareness, engagement, sentiment change, just pulling the previous month and then comparing it to the month prior. We are tracking in a couple different ways. We have a daily tracker that pulls in each of the metrics that you see here, so that we can actually see, okay, when a new campaign launches, how does site traffic change? And then on a monthly basis, that's when we're pulling in, okay, what's our brand awareness look like? What does our brand recognition look like? And so that's more tied into the reporting that then our advertising team will also be developing. Okay. I'm assuming that you guys had worked out just in general a communications plan that has goals and objectives tied to it. It would just be laddering up how your efforts are supporting or going or attempting to achieve those goals. So if it's we just want to build awareness around, so say it's build awareness, acquire new fans, you can basically say, okay, this is how we're gradually increasing impressions across all of our channels. And then of the people that we're reaching, we're seeing this engagement rate and then this fan retention and fan acquisition. So, and those are some of those higher up metrics where you can show if you're increasing awareness, if your engagement rate isn't decreasing or if it's remaining the same or just getting better, that means that you're reaching the right people and the people that are engaging are the right people. Now, if you see it start to go south, so your engagement rate starts to drop or your fan acquisition's going up and engagement rate is dropping, you can show like we might need to reanalyze who we're going after with this messaging. And then it goes out to, all right, so this is a specific tactic we had. This is the messaging we use. Should we do an A-B test on that messaging? So it's still the same end goal, but we're going to go about it in a different manner. It goes back to just knowing what the goals are of that specific stakeholder. So what matters the most to them, and showing that through your efforts, you're obtaining that goal. Does that make sense? So we'll designate them separately. So we'll have total of the two, and then we'll say, we'll have efforts that are only paid. So like if you have a dark Facebook post or a dark tweet, website card, lead gen card, those will be categorized separately because we'll want to show, okay, through this we had X percent cost per lead, or like X dollar cost per lead. But then we'll say, say it's a campaign, we'll have that total effort. And then we'll have it broken out by like, so let's say it's like a pie chart, like it'll be like separated by organic and paid. And then obviously for the paid section, we'll have what the total cost was. No. In a word, no. When you have specific tracking and like UTM parameters on your links, it's all being pulled into Google Analytics. In my opinion, that's the most accurate way. Or if you have an internal, basically data tool that can track all those things and compile them, that's the best way. And the reason it's the best for you specifically is because then it's probably consistent with reporting across your whole organization. Facebook and Twitter, their reporting on paid, in my opinion, is still a little bit elevated. So you'll say you got like 350 site visits. It might actually, when you check Google Analytics, it might be like 323. So what I recommend doing there is you have either an asterisk next to that number saying like this is up to like a 95% accuracy, or pull a long string of whatever metric you're tracking and find what that average is between what Google Analytics says and what Facebook or Twitter says on paid acquisition costs. See what the average difference is between the two and then apply it. Right. Yeah, I know. So, I mean, that's one of the definite barriers right now. I know I think it's Amobi, they have an in-tool paid program as well, where you can actually develop your paid program based upon your social listening, and then you can also export and report on each of those things. I personally have not, I can't speak to it because I haven't used it, but I've heard that they're up and coming. So take a look at them. I'm not sure what their pricing model is either. I'm also not an advocate necessarily for any of these things. I'm not trying to sell anything. Any other cool questions? No? Well, if you have any other questions that you don't want to ask now or you don't want to raise your hand, feel free to reach out to me on Twitter or afterwards. Oh, there we go. Sure. It's like $35 an hour.
$35
an hour. Yeah, no, sounds good.
So
I'd be happy to.
Hour, I'll pay you now.
No, I'd be very happy to. Thanks.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I think there's one more question.
Be very dependent on what your organizational goals are, but I really liked that quote about putting more detail into an analysis but using less words. That really stuck with me right now. The last report I just wrote was like 30 slides long.
Yeah.
And that was too many.
We've all been there.
So I just love if you could speak more to kind of what kind of analytics you do like to focus on and what kind of garbage analytics you feel like a lot of people think that they should focus on but really aren't kind of telling that story strongly.
Sure. So it is obviously specific to each organization, but I would encourage you to look at what items can you potentially be affecting that you wouldn't initially think of. So it was just actually about 2 or 3 months ago, we started tracking the brand search terms after campaigns to see what type of effect we were having on search. So if brand awareness or product education, company education is a priority for your company right now, see if you're generating curiosity. See if you're inspiring people to talk about it in forums or on Reddit or obviously on Twitter or any other social platforms. And tracking, how is that changing over time? Are we actually increasing the number of people that are talking about this? And then if that number is continuing to increase and you're seeing it occur in the same venues or the same websites, the same forums, blogs, you're also showing that these are people that are you're retaining as well. They're staying interested. I said that in a very long-winded and not concise way, like that quote, but I think it's being able to show kind of like a different angle of it. Everyone's so used to seeing we had X number of impressions, X number of likes, X number of shares, X number of comments, those types of things, retweets, likes, all that stuff. Show why that's important. Look into each of those metrics and see if it's the same exact people are always retweeting you, or of the people that retweeted you, how many were super influential, and set some sort of barrier for number of followers that they have. I should have put it in this now that I think about it, but I have basically like a diagram, a Venn diagram that has different levels of influence. You have followers, you have relevancy to your topic or organization, activity level, and then I forget what the fourth one is, but basically in the middle, that's like the perfect influencer for your company. So it opens up a new opportunity for an influencer engagement program just because you saw this many people that retweeted us are very influential because they're relevant to us and they have a lot of followers. So showing how those metrics can turn into something else.
Great. Thank you guys.
Cool.
And if
Thank
you have
you
any questions,
so
you can contact them
yep.
later
Please
on.
Do.